This morning we begin a series entitled Finishing Well, and our prayer this morning is that we finish well within the allotted time today. Many of us in today's culture struggle with following through. You see, people start diets, but they don't stick with them. People make New Year's resolutions, as many did just a few weeks ago, but they don't keep them. People enter into relationships and they get married, but rarely do they come to that point to death do us part. Somehow they break them. We make plans and goals, but somehow we begin to lose interest somewhere along the way, and we never reach them. There are broken promises and unfulfilled dreams. We find that it's much easier to start something than it is to finish it.
Over the next 4 weeks, we want to look at some characters in the Bible who finished well. People who defied all the odds and life circumstances and leave with us an example of how to accomplish something great for God right up till the end. So one of the characters we'll be looking at next week is Solomon. Now, Solomon, I know what you're thinking. He failed miserably at the end of his life. But he reveals to us some of those things that can trip us up and keep us from finishing well. But we'll also see as we look at his life that there are indications that at the end of his life that he did come to his senses and come back to the Lord.
We'll take a look at the Apostle Paul, how he started off in the wrong direction, but after his conversion, he spent the rest of his life spending his life for God. He never stopped. He never tired. He fought the good fight and he finished the race.
Of course, no series about finishing well can be complete without a look at the life of Jesus, because he was the greatest example of finishing well, despite betrayal by his own people and an agonizing death.
Today we want to begin with a man named Caleb. Caleb served God and accomplished something great for him, even in his old age.
As we'll see in our story today, that Caleb is 85 when these events take place. Now, I have found that there's a common misconception throughout most of our country, and probably not so much down here in Florida because we're around older people all the time. But you know, the rest of the world or the rest of the country thinks that people over 65 can't contribute anything meaningful to society. Do you know there are a whole lot of people out there who think that if you're over 65 that you have nothing to offer, that you're only good for sitting in a rocking chair and sitting out on a porch, rocking away until your days are done. But you know, we know that that's not reality, don't we? We know that because we're around seniors all the time. In fact, when you look through history, there are many people who have accomplished great, great things in their later years. I want to just share some of those with you. Frank Lloyd Wright, great architect, he created New York's amazing Guggenheim Museum when he was 80.
Benjamin Franklin helped draft the Declaration of Independence at the age of 70.
Grandma Moses was a young 78 when she began painting, almost 100 when she found fame and fortune.
George Burns, the famous actor, worked almost right to his death at the age of 100, and he won an Oscar at the age of 80.
Peg Phillips, an American actress who was in Northern Exposure, started acting professionally in her late 60s after retiring from a career as an accountant.
At the age of 85, Fanny Crosby was still composing 250 hymns every year.
At the age of 72, Cam Townsend, founder of the Wycliffe Bible Translators, flew to Moscow and began learning Russian to assist in Bible translation work in the Caucasus.
And today, George Beverly Shea, it's his birthday, he's 99. And I know that in some church, somewhere, George is probably standing up right about now, singing a special before the pastor preaches.
When we look at Scripture, we know that Moses was 80 years old when God called him to lead his people out of Egypt. And he led the people of Israel until he was 120 years old.
And the most scary one in all the Bible is this. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Take precautions, people.
I believe that God wants us to finish well, to keep achieving well into old age. And Caleb is a wonderful example, a wonderful biblical example of doing this, of serving God, of doing great things all the way to the end.
So let's understand who Caleb is. Caleb was one of the 12 spies that Moses sent out into the land of Canaan. If you remember, the Israelites were delivered by Moses out of the land of Egypt, and as they made their way to the Jordan River to possess the promised land, before they went in, they sent out a scout team to spy the land. And they sent out 12 spies. All of the spies came back with a glowing report. They said, "This land is everything God said it was. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. It will be a wonderful place to live." But 10 of the spies says, "It is so great and so wonderful, it's bigger than us, we'll never take it. They will chew us up and spit us out." 2 spies stepped forward, Joshua and Caleb. And they said, "With the Lord's help, we can conquer this land. With the Lord's help, we can be successful." So the people took a vote, and they voted not to go in the land. And so for the next 40 years, they wandered in the desert until all of those naysayers, that generation that voted, till they all died. All of them except for 2, Joshua and Caleb.
So when our story begins today in the book of Joshua, chapter 14, Moses has already died. They've wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses died. And Joshua became the new leader of the people of Israel. Joshua led them across the Jordan River and into the promised land that they had to take by force. And so for the last 4 or 5 years, they've been fighting, and they've been going to war against the people there and taking the land that was rightfully theirs. At this point, not every stronghold had been conquered, but enough had been conquered that victory was assured for the people of Israel. And so at this point in the story, Joshua is getting ready to gather the people together and to cast lots in order for them to allot the land and to plan which tribe of Israel would get which portion of land. So in this account, we have an encounter between Caleb and Joshua. And what we want to do with you this morning, we won't keep you all day. We want to share the scripture and then just share 4 observations, things that we see here that help us to understand how to finish well. And so let's look together at Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 to 14. This is Joshua and Caleb coming together. It says, "Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, "The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I would drive them out, just as he said.' Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly."
Here are 4 observations about finishing well. Click that button. If you have your outlines, number 1 is this. He remembered the promise. Caleb remembered the promise, not just the events that happened those 45 years earlier when he went as a spy into the land, but he remembered what was promised him. In fact, it was that promise that kept him going all of those years. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, God says about Caleb, "I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." That was the promise. For 45 years, Caleb held on to that promise. Joshua had been made leader over all of Israel, and we read about his exploits, conquering wars, but about Caleb we know very little. We know that he was a humble, obedient servant. He wasn't in the limelight, but he was faithful. It was the promise of this future reward that someday he would possess the land that kept him going all of those years. Think of it. All of his peers, he watched them die. Everyone his own age was gone. He buried them. What kept him going was the promise that that land would be his. Now the application is very simple for us. We too have been given promises. Promises that should sustain us through the trials and the battles of our everyday lives. Not a promise of a physical land, but the promise of a heavenly home of eternal life. The Apostle Peter proclaimed that God has given us new birth in a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. He writes that in 1 Peter 1:34. The Apostle Paul goes on to say that when you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise in Galatians 3:29, Colossians 3:24 tells us that the promise of this inheritance should influence our work ethic. So like Caleb, we should continue to do our best and work diligently because we know that we will receive the inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee to the promises that He has made, especially this promise of eternal life. And so as we see God at work in our everyday lives, it should fuel the fire of our faith, helping us to work hard and to finish well.
Second observation is this. Caleb requested what was rightfully his. He requested what was rightfully his. Verse 12, it says, he says, "Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day." See, Caleb approaches Joshua with this very formal request because the land was about to be divided up. And no doubt, the region of Hebron would have fallen by lot to Caleb anyway. Because let me tell you, when we think of casting lots today, we think like they're throwing it all up to chance. But that wasn't their thinking at all. They believed that when they cast lots, God was working through that, and whatever came out was absolutely God's decision and God's plan. So since God had already promised this region to Caleb, there was no doubt in his mind that when the lots were cast, the lot would come to him, and he would be given that portion of land. But Caleb knew that the land was already his. It had already been promised to him. So there was no need for him to cast lots. He didn't need any extra proof that this land actually been given to him because he knew God had made that promise and he trusted God to keep that promise. Now there are times that I think that we live as Christians far below the level that God wants to bless us at because of our failure to request what is rightfully ours. James 4:12, James says, "You do not have because you do not ask God." I think there's just so much that God wants to give us, and yet we never even approach Him and ask Him for it. Think of some of the things that Scripture tells us. God has promised to give us victory over sin. He has promised to give us a deep, abiding joy. He's promised to give us power through the Holy Spirit to be His witnesses. He's promised to give us wisdom if we just ask. He's promised to give us protection from our enemies, to give us an abundant life, to give us a peace that passes all understanding. He's even promised at times to give us healing. But so much of the time, we just find ourselves all hoping for something or just wishing for something to come true. And sometimes I think we need to boldly step out and ask God to tell Him what it is we want. Not in a name it, claim it. You understand the difference, don't you? There are people out there who say, well, name it and claim it, and basically you're demanding God that He has to work in a certain way. I'm not saying that. But God has promised us so many things that we need to step up and ask Him for those things. Ask Him to give us what He has promised. You know, it takes faith to do that. It's interesting, this whole idea that Caleb didn't need the lot to be cast to prove that something was his. He just believed it and took God at his word. You know, so much of God's promises are revealed to us in Scripture. We don't have to beg him time and time again to tell us that the promises are for us. We don't have to put out a fleece and test God just to make sure that he's willing to see us through. We just need to take him at his word. If he made a promise, that's good as gold. We can bank on it. We can trust him. And we need to ask him to give us the things that he has already promised are rightfully ours.
The third principle that we want to look at, he was ready to work. He was ready to work. Now I want you to know this is one principle that this would be a great sermon if there was only 3 points and this wasn't one of them. Huh? You'd get out earlier, for one thing. But this is the one fly in the ointment, it seems. Caleb was ready for work. All of these promises that Pastor Patty says that God has promised us, somehow we just want them without doing the work. If you read the rest of Caleb's story, you see that he says, God, you promised me this land, and now Caleb was willing to work in order to get it. He led the charge to battle for that land and to take that land. It was a promise worth fighting for. You see, Caleb did not expect God to simply make all the inhabitants flee away. He didn't expect God to have the enemy to come and surrender and lay down their arms. Caleb realized that he was going to have to fight for that promise. He was going to have to work for it. In chapter 4, verse 11, he says, I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. You see, this is what a promise or a goal does for us. It keeps you focused. It keeps you prepared. It keeps you in shape for the promise that God has for you. You see, when we have a promise that is in front of us, it keeps us prepared and healthy and strong, ready for the task. Caleb knew he was going to have to fight for the promise. Now, this is the application I want you to hear. Sometimes as Christians, we simply want God to bless us and to give us power and to give us the promises without working for it. You see, we say, God, I want you to give me victory over this habit in my life, or this thing I'm trying to begin with a good habit. Now, all of you remember last week we asked you to do two things this year. Stop one bad habit and start one good one. Right? And wouldn't it be nice if God could, with a wave of His hand, just change everything and make it so you no longer like chocolate, you know? That you love to get up early in the morning, that you know what I mean? God doesn't do it that way. God says if you want victory over the habit, most Christians just say, Lord, take the desire away. God says, I want you to work for it. I want you to work for it. You want to lose weight this year? Work for it. Huh? You want to change a habit in your life? Work for it. What about mending broken relationships? Oh, God, fix those people so we'll get along. You know how we pray that. Because certainly it's their fault. We don't want to go through the hard work of reconciliation or the hard work of trying to understand things from their point of view. We just want somehow magically the other person to be fixed. We ask God for wisdom. And that's certainly a scriptural thing. We ask God for wisdom, but we don't want to open a book to read or to learn. We ask God for wisdom, but we don't want to have to do any thinking or any working on our own. We ask God for wisdom, but we won't search the Scriptures to know His will and His mind. You see, God makes us promises, but we need to be ready to work for them. I want you to know that anything worth having is worth working for. Isn't that true? Intimacy with God takes effort. Overcoming temptations is hard work. God will give us the victory. But He wants us to partner with Him. This whole put on the whole armor of God thing. He wants to partner with Him in warfare. That we will be willing to put up the fight to take possession of what God has promised us. As I said, this would have been a wonderful message if it wasn't for this point. Why? God says we need to be ready to work.
Number 4, he received his reward. Caleb did receive his reward. The city of Hebron became his. And this city was a home, the ancient home of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his predecessors. Sarah had been buried there. At this point in history, it was the seat of government for the Anakites. It was their most important city. So this was a great prize. I mean, this was a very valuable city from a religious standpoint, from his own ancestry and his own family, and also from the culture at the time. It was a great prize. But he received more than just a piece of land. That wasn't his only reward. He also received vindication. Just think of this. 45 years earlier, when 10 spies reported that the Anakites lived here and that they were like giants, and their report was, boy, we looked like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we appeared the same to them. They just thought we were these puny little insignificant nothings. They were so huge and so big. And their report was that we can't possibly go in and take this land. But at that time, it was Caleb who maintained that God was able to give them victory over the Anakites. And now, the victory was finally here. No one had believed him then, and now all those people have died off in the desert. But Caleb got to see the victory. He was right. God was faithful. Don't you look forward to someday just going to heaven so God can say, you were right about something, you know? But one day, we will receive our heavenly reward. We know that we will spend eternity with our Lord. And in some senses, we will finally be proven right. All the folks who, in our society today, who think that Christians are idiots, and they belittle us for our faith, people who think intelligent design is just wishful thinking, people who think we're fools for living a righteous life, they will finally find out that we were right. They'll find out that God is real. There's a vindication that takes place there. The reward is heaven itself. It's vindication. And it's also God's blessing on our lives, even through our old age. I really believe that even if there was no heaven, if there was nothing after this life, the benefits of serving Christ now are great, and they're worth it, aren't they? The blessing of God upon our lives, and I firmly believe there is a heaven, don't anybody take me wrong, but the blessing on his life, when we are obedient to him, when we follow him, when we do what he asks us to do, the reward of the blessing on his life is a great reward. And so for Caleb, I think the reward of following God every day, of serving him wholeheartedly, was reward in itself. And getting the land, this land of Hebron, the region around there, and the vindication, being told he was right, that was just icing on the cake. But he did receive his reward.
You see, there's something special about this man, Caleb. His life is an example for us. But these observations that concern the last chapter of his life, when he was 85 years old, did not materialize simply in his old age. They are a result of a lifestyle that Caleb lived since early adulthood. In other words, he began patterns and habits in his life that allowed him to finish well. Three times in our text today, we see these words. Caleb speaks it about himself. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. It's spoken to him by God and Moses, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. And then again, Joshua, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. You see, the secret to finishing well is to serving God, and that begins now. Most of us have a tendency to think that I do a whole bunch when I'm younger so that I can build up enough speed, enough steam, that I can coast across the line. Yeah? God never intended you to coast. We'll coast till Jesus comes, we'll coast. Go ahead and sing it with me. Till Jesus comes, we'll coast. No. We'll work till Jesus comes. He never intended us to coast. The secret of finishing well is that we serve God wholeheartedly with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. We give everything we have, never holding back anything, never compromising in any area of life. And when we do that, we will finish well. You see, when we do that, God will enable us to hold fast to His promises. God will enable us to request what it is that He has for us and to know His will. We will have His strength to do the work that is involved to attain His promises. And when we do that, we will receive the reward that God has planned for each and every one of us. it becomes important that we learn to finish well to the very last breath. We want to finish well, people. Let's ask the Lord to help us to do that, to make any changes today so that we'll live wholeheartedly from now on. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank You for these moments in Your presence. And Father, I pray that You'll help us not to get caught up into the world's philosophy of gaining up steam and just to coast to the end. Father, I pray that You'll help us to have this philosophy that we live wholeheartedly for You in everything that we say and do. Lord, that we have the mindset that says we will work till Jesus comes. Lord, that we do not put an age limit on our service to You or what we are able to accomplish. But Father, that we will be just as excited about serving You today at 85 as we were back when we were 40. Lord, that we would go full steam right into the kingdom of heaven. So Father, I pray if there's anyone here that's been coasting, Lord, that today that You would light a fire within them. Lord, that You would help them to be wholehearted in all that they do. Lord, that You will help us to work until Jesus comes and help us to finish well. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.